Why should I believe in God?
A Billboard Evangelism phone dialogue. Did you ever wonder what a phone team member encounters when he answers a phone call from a billboard caller? What kind of questions do people ask? What you are about to hear is an actual call conversation between a CAM phone team member and a billboard caller who dialed the toll-free number posted on every gospel billboard. Minor editing was done to remove all personal caller information and enhance the flow of the conversation for the listener. Keep in mind that this is only one call and not a complete representation of the team member's interaction with callers. You will probably think of other ways the team member could have responded, and in reality, he probably did too. Often after hanging up with a caller, a team member will think of things he wished he would have said. But we thank God and give Him the glory for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit in giving the right words and scripture verses to our phone team day after day as they minister to many callers. They really need your prayers.
Oh, Johnny Miller with Gospel Billboards. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, you're calling from one of our billboards?
I'm just driving down the road and I saw one of your billboards and thought I would call up. I'm not quite sure. Do y'all rent out the billboards, or are y'all there to discuss about God? I'm kind of confused.
All right, let me quickly alleviate your confusion. We are a mission called Christian Aid Ministries, and we're working in numerous countries with humanitarian aid, but we wanted to do something specifically spiritual for America, to turn America's eyes toward God. And we are renting spots on different billboards across the nation and putting our message there, and a hotline where people can call and ask questions about God, about Satan, about heaven, about hell, about life, about death, and about salvation. That's what it's all about. And so we're getting about 300 phone calls daily, and we're...
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Okay.
There's lots of interest.
Okay, well, I guess the reason I called, so I'm on a trip to go see my family. They're pretty religious. I grew up pretty religious. I'm no longer religious or spiritual, and I know it's going to cause a little bit of a bone of contention when I go visit them. So I guess the billboards are, you know, we're saying God is real and that y'all have evidence for it. So I guess I don't know. I was calling because I don't believe anymore, and I'm wondering if there's a reason I should, or something along those lines. And when I try to discuss it with my family, they normally they bring up the Bible as evidence, which I don't find compelling. And so that's kind of where I am.
Sure, I understand. And that, in your case, is very common, particularly among students. That's something that I run into frequently. And one of the things is our educational system in the last 50 years has taken a turn. You know, back in colonial days, the Bible was one of the major books that was taught from in our educational system. Today, that is the exact opposite. In fact, you get in trouble if you teach anything from the Bible in a public school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now what we've done is, and of course I'm old enough to remember when they still used Bibles and prayers in schools across our nation in the public school. However, we've taken the Bible out and we've installed instead metal detectors. To me, that's a bit ironic. Have you ever contemplated that? You see, what happens is when we take away the internal controls for that which is good and the identification of that which is not good, then we have to add more and more external controls to keep people from killing one another and being hateful and hurting each other. That is the story of mankind. But if I have the internal controls, you know, for example, myself, Walmart could do away with all of their security cameras if everyone was like myself. It would not be necessary because my conscience would not allow me to pick up anything in that store and slip it in my pocket and walk out with it. I can't do that. Follow me?
Yeah, well, kind of, but I mean, that's something that my parents would bring up is that you have to believe in God for morality, but I don't believe in God anymore, and I'm not going to go steal it from Walmart or bring a gun to a school and shoot people. And so I don't know if I follow, because I know lots of people that don't believe in God that are nice people and wouldn't do that.
Oh, and I'm not.
And I know people that believe in God that do some pretty bad things.
And I concur with that. You see, there's a difference in how we interpret the word believe. And let me explain that. There are people all over America who say, I am a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. I believe that there's a God in heaven. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins. I believe that with my whole heart. But you know what? It hasn't changed them. They still sleep around. They still smoke their marijuana. They still go to parties. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's why. They have accepted intellectually the historicity of Jesus Christ, the Bible, and God. But they have not accepted the message of God in their hearts to the point where it has transformed them. And the Bible talks about a transformation.
What about the people that haven't accepted God that are good people too? I mean, it seems like there's good people that have accepted God and there's good people that haven't accepted God. Right?
But you see, even the people that have not accepted God but are good people are actually, in a vague way, living out the precepts of the Bible. Stop and think about it.
But living out the precepts, such as what? You mean like the Ten Commandments type of thing?
Well, you know, to a point. In other words, they would adhere to doing good to your neighbor, wouldn't they? Being kind to one another.
Sure.
Helping people
sure.
in trouble, right? And
sure.
all those are biblical concepts. In fact,
but then,
to a point.
But then I don't need to believe in God then to behave well.
You can behave well
right?
without God. You can behave well without God. But now we get into a little deeper issue of that. Would you be okay with watching porn?
Would I be okay with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Okay. So, and you see, but here is something that you don't understand, possibly, is that how addictive that is and what that does to your idea of morality, your definition of morality. We get into those areas, you know, and you know, the people who have called me who are addicted to porn and would like to get out of it and they can't, it's amazing.
Okay, I guess I'm still, my question is, you know, again, I'm going to go visit my family. I know they're going to try to convince me that God is real and exists.
Why do they want to convince you of that?
I assume because they want me to go to heaven.
All right.
I assume. And they think that I won't because I don't believe in Jesus Christ or God. So I assume that that's their motivation for trying to convince me. But I appreciate if they really believe in a God and a heaven, I appreciate their efforts. It's exasperating, but I appreciate that it's coming from a good spot. But they haven't been successful. And so I guess I don't know if I'm necessarily calling to be convinced, but their arguments haven't been convincing. And so I'm wondering if there is a convincing argument that would make me believe in God or get me to believe in accept Jesus as my savior.
Okay, I follow you. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. Well, let me put it to you this way. I have never in my lifetime ever argued anyone into the kingdom. You know why?
Why?
Because we don't get there by argument. Argument has to do with logical deduction. And so if I could convince you logically that Jesus Christ was here, he did die on the cross, and that he is the Lamb of God whose blood alone can wash our sins away and clear that record up that's in heaven against us. If I could convince you by argument, you still wouldn't be a Christian. You still wouldn't be saved from your sinfulness. Here's why.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Here's why. You can interrupt any time. I'm used to this. But here's why. Because we can only approach God through faith. And that means entrusting our lives in what God has spoken.
I guess, though, the reason I called is because the billboard said there is evidence of God.
There's
evidence for God.
Amen.
Because that's what I'm looking for, right?
Sure.
I'm looking. So what's the evidence then?
Okay, now what kind of evidence are you looking for? What kind of evidence would be convincing to you?
I mean, so the evidence that my parents have provided has been, the Bible. They've pointed to different passages in the Bible, but to me that's built upon, like, for me to accept the Bible, it's built upon me accepting that is God's word, which is built upon me accepting that there's a God. And that's where I'm stuck. So the Bible is not good evidence to me. And mm-hmm. And they've said, look at the world around you, look how magnificent everything is. And, how could this come to be? But again, to me, that's not convincing, because that's just saying that they can't imagine a better way, and so it must be God. So I'm not even sure, I mean, if all of a sudden, boom, there was, a giant God in front of me that came down, or boom, Jesus was sitting next to me, and I just totally couldn't explain it any other way, I guess I would believe it. So I don't know what the evidence is I'm looking for. I can think of some things that would convince me, but I don't think that they're likely to happen.
Name something that you think would really convince you.
If boom, right next to me in the car right now appeared Jesus, and he said, "I'm the Son of God," and performed some miracle in front of me, that I would be convinced right now.
Okay.
But that's a tall order for.
No, I understand. Let me backtrack just a little bit. So, as you were talking, I made a little list, okay? And the list mm-hmm. is God, Bible, and world. You mentioned those three.
Okay.
So I've checked off God because you don't accept the idea that God exists, right?
Right.
I've checked off.
I used to, but I do not now.
Where you are now, and so I check off the Bible because. You don't put any stock in the Bible, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And I've checked off the world around us, what we call nature, because I'm not sure why, but you check.
Well, that's not evidence of God. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess if that's what you have chosen to do. I guess you got to paddle your canoe with that paddle, because you see, when we reject the idea that God exists, we're saying that life came from nothing. I mean, obviously.
I guess so. Though I've heard arguments otherwise.
Sure,
that,
so have I. The atoms came together and they bumped and they collided and they did this and they did that, but really there's no evidence of that. There's a hypothesis of that, but there's no evidence of that. In fact, we should have new forms of life hopping out of the ground every day if that was the case, because they've been here just as many billions of years as all the rest of them, right?
Well, no, not if it started once. and then has been a progression until now, then...
If atoms collided and brought life forms into being, then that process should still be continuing. Unless it stopped.
Well, I mean, if we said that what started it was the Big Bang, that happened once, and that set everything into motion till now, right? So unless there were more Big Bangs happening all the time, I wouldn't expect that to happen. I would expect that the Big Bang set things into motion, and that, you know, has been a slow chain of events until now.
Okay, all right. And so let's...
Go
ahead.
The argument that, like, you know, how can something come from nothing? Even if it was, whether it was life or not life, I mean, I can see, like, I don't know where things came from. I don't know what happened before the Big Bang, if there was anything. But the absence of that doesn't seem to be evidence for something else. Because then I could put, if I said, well, how could life have come from nothing? Then couldn't I put anything as the beginner, right? I mean,
instead of God.
Instead of God, because if there's no good explanation for where life came from, that doesn't seem to be evidence for God. That's just a lack of a good explanation for where life came from, because that would be just as much evidence for God as evidence for aliens or evidence for a spiritual alligator. Like, it could be anything, right? There's no evidence for one specific thing. There's just not evidence for where life came from.
Yeah. You see, and that's why God gave his law. That's why God chose the people of Israel, through whom he would send a Messiah, and prophesied it. But then you negate the Bible, so... You know, you're
well, I'd have to believe in God before I believed in the Bible, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So the Bible can't be evidence for God, because for me to even accept it as gospel truth, right? I've got to believe that there's a God. So that I feel like I have to believe in a God, in any God first, and then maybe that would be convincing towards the Bible.
Okay, let's put it in a little different slot here. Do you believe in Leonardo da Vinci?
Yes, the person that he existed?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
All right, what evidence do you have?
I mean, we have stuff that he created. We have accounts of people that were with him. We have... you know, records of him. There's lots of evidence that he existed.
Okay, so we have the diagram of a primitive helicopter that he drew. Remember?
Yeah.
And paintings that he's done, right?
Yep.
Okay, so those are evidences that he existed. But supposing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now it would be sort of ludicrous for you to say he never existed, wouldn't it? I mean, yeah, sure it would be.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you know that we have thousands of more evidences of Jesus Christ existing than Leonardo da Vinci, but you don't accept that?
Well, I believe that Jesus Christ existed. I think he was a person, and I think he probably said a lot of the things that are recorded in the Bible. And I think he was probably a really good person. And, you know, I think he did a lot to change the world for the better. But I don't believe that he was a god.
Do you believe he was crucified?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. I would. I don't have a reason not to.
Okay. Do you believe he rose from the dead?
No.
Okay. Why not?
Because that... I mean, that's not something that happens. There's lots of evidence that people are and were crucified. There's, you know, not really good evidence that people rise from the dead. it's not something that happens all the time, you know? So it seems like that's a, you know, a big thing to accept. And so I would want more than just, you know, some people that were ardent believers of him said they saw it happen. Just like if, you know, if my friend said that yesterday he drove in a Ford pickup truck, I would believe him. And if he said yesterday he rode on a dinosaur, I wouldn't. That one's a much harder thing to swallow because it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I follow you. I have chosen to believe, and you have chosen not to believe, and I think that's sad, right? I mean, you've made a choice. You believe that Jesus Christ existed. You believe he was a good man. You believe many of the things that are recorded in the scriptures about what he did and said are accurate. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to – and you believe he was crucified, but you don't believe he rose from the dead. And the key is if he rose from the dead as he had prophesied he would, that would make him God, wouldn't it?
I don't know, because in the Bible there's other people that rose from the dead.
Yeah, but none of them prophesied that they were going to.
Yeah, I would think he was something more than human if he rose from the dead. I don't know if I would say he was God, but he would catch my attention.
Right. Now,
yeah.
Getting back to something you said earlier, I think is very significant. You said that if Jesus Christ would suddenly be sitting in the seat beside you and say, "I am God," you would accept that.
I would be heartily convinced.
Right, heartily convinced. Now, do you know that your knowing God is not dependent upon you being convinced? Do you know that?
I don't follow.
I know, because it sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? But here's the point. You see, Jesus said this in John chapter 3. He said that we cannot see the kingdom of God until we are born again, meaning we cannot perceive the kingdom of God until we are born again. So in order for you to see or perceive the kingdom of God, you must first be born again, and that takes faith in Jesus Christ, not seeing him in the flesh. He came in the flesh. We have the eyewitnesses of John and Matthew who went with him for 3.5 years and recorded what he said and did, and his crucifixion and his resurrection. And if you reject that, what else is there?
Well, so that's something that my parents have said, which is, you know, if I believe, he'll come to me, essentially, that I need to have faith. But to me, I mean, the things that I have faith in, I'm somewhat convinced to have faith in it, right? I mean, I have faith that the Earth revolves around the sun. You know, I can see it in books. I can hear people talk about it. Ultimately, I've never seen it firsthand, but I have faith in it. But I have faith in it because I've been convinced through, you know, various forms of evidence. And it seems if God is all-knowing, he would know what it would take for me to be convinced and to believe. And he'd have to know that what he's doing right now or what's happening right now isn't enough because I'm not doing it. So I need more, and I'm looking for more. But it seems like if I'm not believing in him, to some extent that's not on me now, right? That's on him, because there's clearly something that I'm missing in order to believe. It's not there. So I don't know if I'm compelled to believe in him or to say I just need to have faith and it's going to happen, because I'm missing enough to kick me over to having faith. Well, you know, and maybe that's part of what I'm doing now. I mean, I'm actively trying to seek out the things that will convince me to like to have faith. Mm-hmm. But you know, it seems like he would know what evidence was necessary, because there's lots of things that I didn't believe in and I do now. There's lots of things that have changed my mind about different things. Why make it so difficult to have faith?
You know, God might be asking the same question. If you're, you know, that's really unique, and I love to hear what you're saying, because I think you're honest and you're speaking from your heart, and yet, do you remember the account in the Bible after the resurrection where Jesus appears in the room with the disciples? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Thomas wasn't there.
Yeah.
The others were there, but Thomas wasn't. And Jesus spoke with them, and then he left again. Okay?
Yeah.
Appeared. And then about 8 days later, I think the Bible says, they were all assembled there together, and Jesus appears in the midst of them. But in the meantime, Thomas comes back to the others, and they say, "We've seen the Lord." And he says, "No, unless I can put my hand, my fingers in the prints of his hand, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." And so he made a choice there. He would not believe. Okay, so 8 days later, according to that account, Jesus appears in the midst of them, knowing what Thomas has said. He just simply says, "Thomas, come here. Behold my hands. Put your fingers in the nail prints of my hands, and put your hand here in my side, and don't be faithless, but believing." Did Thomas do it?
I don't remember, honestly. I'm sorry.
Okay. The Bible says he didn't do it. He just made a declaration. He said, "My Lord and my God." That is it. And then Jesus said to Thomas, "Thomas, because you have seen, you believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe."
But that's not fair to Thomas, because all of the other disciples saw it first, right? Like, all of the people that believed saw it. And until they saw it, they didn't believe. And that's the same position that I'm in. I'm Thomas, right? And I'm not believing. So, but he didn't just say, "Well, tough Thomas." He came back and showed himself, and was willing to offer up even more evidence that it was him.
Okay.
And that's what I'm. That's what, you know. So it's easy. I mean, I would have an easy time having faith if that happened to me. But it hasn't. And instead, I'm, you know, I feel like I'm being asked to just do it just because. And,
well,
you know,
here's something. I have a question for you, and I want you to think before you answer.
Okay.
Do you want faith? Down in the recesses of your heart, do you really want faith, or you don't want faith?
I don't feel a need right now. Like, I feel like I'm living a good life, and I'm a good person, and I'm a good father, and I'm doing all of that without faith. So
okay.
I don't think that my life would be improved in those regards with faith. But I'm going back to my family, my parents right now, and they certainly feel that it's very important for me to have faith. It's really important for them. And I don't want to not have faith just to be stubborn. And I don't want to not have faith, you know, just because if I was the same person I am now plus faith, I think my life would probably be easier, because, you know, I wouldn't be knowing that I'm going to walk into a little bit of tension in just a bit. I don't think it's necessary for me to be a good person. I think it would make things a little bit easier. So I don't know. Maybe that's the issue. I'm not looking for it for myself. I'm looking for it for my parents. I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay. The reason I asked these kinds of questions is often we run on the surface of our life and we don't dig down into the very root of our life and understand ourselves. And sometimes by asking these questions, it prompts us to look a little deeper into ourselves. And I think you're being honest. I think, you know, you said it when you said, I don't see my need for faith, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So then there is no evidence that would convince you because you don't see a need for faith.
Yeah, no, I guess you're right. I mean, I don't want to be wrong. If there is a God, I'd rather believe in Him. But yeah, I guess I don't see it as something that's missing from my life until I get back with my family.
When's the last time you read something from the Bible?
Oh, it would be a long time ago.
Okay. I'm gonna just share something with you, and I'm not asking for any promise or any such thing. But if a person decides they want to know if there is a God, they want to know if faith is real. Can it bridge the gap between my intellect and Almighty God? If you want to know those things, open a Bible to Matthew chapter 1 and ask God this question. If Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God, I want to know Him. One question. Then you read chapter 1. The next day you go to chapter 2 and you ask the very same question. If Jesus Christ is really the Son of God, I want to know Him. And you read chapter 2. The next day you go to chapter 3. It takes about 10 minutes a day. And what happens in the process is you're looking at the claims. You're looking at the life, the persona of Jesus Christ. You're looking at the historical, biblical evidence. And you're just looking at, you can look at it neutrally, that's fine. But you're just asking the question, is this real or isn't it? And go all the way to the 28th chapter. And when you finish there, stop and ask yourself a question. Do I accept this or do I reject it? And when a person does that, you know. Now, here's something that I want you to think about. The Bible says this, and I know you have some major hesitations about the Bible, but here's what it says. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Until our hearts are open to hear the Word of God, we will never have faith. That's just a little key I want you to hang on to, and if think about it, just think about it, and, you know, and decide within yourself. Yeah, I think I'm going to plow through the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm just going to just see if I believe anything that's there. What do I believe? What don't I believe? And why do I believe what I believe? And why don't I believe what I don't believe? And I just want to see. Yeah, if Jesus is real, I want to know Him. And, yeah, simple as that. At the end?
All right, I might give that a try.
Okay. And if you run into something that you have a question about, you would like to talk with me again, my extension number is 56, and you're welcome to call back, and then when it asks for extension number, hit 56, and that's me. I'm here from 8 in the morning till 6 in the evening, 5 days a week.
Wow, okay. And it was Johnny?
I'm Johnny Miller, that's right.
Johnny, it was a pleasure speaking with you.
I'd like to do one thing. I know you're going into a tedious situation. I'd just like to pray a prayer of blessing over you. May I do that?
Sure.
Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, you've been listening in on this line. I know you have. And you've heard Jesus' heart. And Lord, you have compassion upon him. And I pray that as he goes back and visits with his parents, that you would give him grace to divert argument, but to hear with his heart what you have to tell him. And I ask that you would protect him on the highway and give him traveling mercies. and also on the highway of life. And Lord, just touch his heart for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you for calling. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you for taking the time.
All right. God bless you.
Would you like to be involved in the Billboard Evangelism Program? Here are several ways. Please pray for our dedicated phone team who speaks with thousands of spiritually hungry Americans over the phone. Sign up to receive an urgent prayer alert on your phone and a weekly email containing several prayer requests concerning callers' spiritual needs. To listen to recorded prayer requests, call 330-800-9203 anytime. The door of opportunity to present Jesus and His Word on billboards is wide open. CAM has established excellent connections with our nation's largest billboard companies, enabling us to obtain significant discounts. $1 presents a gospel message over 1,000 times. If you wish to impact Americans with a gospel message, your help will be greatly appreciated. The Adopt a Billboard sponsorship program is a personalized way to sponsor a billboard. Call the CAM office and request an Adopt a Billboard sponsorship sheet to choose which billboard you would like to sponsor. If you would like to stay updated on the Billboard Evangelism Program and learn more about the effect these gospel billboards are having on America, sign up to receive Billboard Evangelism's free quarterly newsletter. To sign up for any of the prayer options and quarterly newsletter, or to make a contribution, please call 330-893-2428 or visit our website at ChristianAidMinistries.org.